Keldabe Talk Radio, the official podcast of the Mandalorian Mercs. We're a costume organization dedicated to charity efforts around the globe, defending events in Mandalorian armor we've built by hand. Here on the show, we'll keep you up to date with the latest fan community news. Visit our website at www.mandalorianmercs.com.
And welcome back to another episode of Keldabe Talk Radio. I am Biohazard, one of your hosts. With me is Crow.
Hey, guys.
Frost, come on.
Hello.
Maria Ledenma.
Hey, guys.
Pinocchio.
Hello.
And Thaxos.
Hey, guys.
So, we're all here today. We're going to be shortening the episodes a little bit to try to make it easier because we had some people complain they were too long, and that's our fault.
And
so, we're going to try to keep this short. Shorter, we can't promise. You might hear thunderstorm, put two and two together. Let's go.
This is also a change of format. We're going to have thunder and lightning in every episode now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. To make it more creepy.
Additionally, we're going to have fans because it's now summertime and everybody's got a fan on.
Pretty much.
I should have a laugh track.
What?
Frost, did you die?
No.
Okay. Anyway.
That was the sound of my fan.
Okay, okay, I get it.
Okay. I gotcha.
So, what's up first?
Well, let's say the regional commanders finally full in effect in their positions and their jobs. We finally got everybody elected and
stuff
settled in. And yeah. we got two of them here.
Just by chance. I mean, they happen to be around, so...
Yeah, chance so, interviews. We just didn't have anything going on today, so we decided to drop by.
Yeah, we like to go for spontaneity on this podcast.
Yeah, you may have picked out of our extremely informative April podcast that Thaxos and Frost are both regional commanders. Thaxos is the Canadian commander.
Yep.
And Canada.
From some useless nation, as far as I'm concerned.
And Frost is our Eastern.
United States commander.
Yeah.
Give us a rundown, one of both of you. Basically, like, what the whole point of the regional commander is. What do you do?
What we actually do is basically act as a liaison between the clans and the actual council. So we're there to basically support the leadership of the clans and squads within the region that we're representing. We're there to help promote the healthy growth of clans and squads wherever we can. Obviously, we work with the council as well to help relay, you know, issues that might come up at a clan level that needs to be discussed with the council.
We are in charge of the investigations in that they get passed down to us. We are in charge of collecting evidence in our own region, and then we are required to go ahead and make rulings on that as a regional commander council. Essentially, everybody votes. To figure out what they think the proper course of action is. That way, the decision is less something that could be seen as a unilateral action by the council, because, I don't know, maybe they don't like you, or maybe you don't like them, or whatever.
Or you instead, just think they're biased.
Yeah, or you think they're biased. And so you're getting a judgment from a court of your superiors, as opposed to a court of your extra superiors.
So, upper middle management.
Yeah, basically.
So you guys fit pretty much between the council level and the Allurads and clan leadership.
Yes, technically there are certain issues in which the Allurads are supposed to take to the council themselves. There's a whole bunch of other things, but we actually kind of operate as a bridge between all members, regardless of their clan level position.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a problem that you think needs to be brought up to the council, you're supposed to bring them up to your regional commander first, at which point your regional commander is then supposed to bring it up to the council at large in the regional commander forums, and hopefully your concern will be addressed, which so far has worked. The only clan-level problem we've had has been dealt with in a... Only clan-level suggestion we've had has been dealt with very quickly and was immediately acted upon in favor of the suggester's suggestion. So there you go.
Excellent. Now, how many regional commanders do we have now? Like, what, 7, 8?
A number.
Something like that?
It's an odd number. I know that.
U.S. has, 4 or 5, pretty much.
We have 7 in total.
Okay.
There's
yeah,
one,
and then
there's one
Canada,
for Europe, one for Latin America, yeah. Yeah. Eastern U.S., Central U.S., Western U.S., Canada, and the Outer Rim.
Right.
Yeah, and the Outer Rim is just everybody else.
Right.
Yeah.
But regarding the actual responsibilities of the RCs, there are certain things that we will discuss with the clan leaders, like codex changes and the important stuff. More minor details is more of a judgment call, whether or not we contact the clan first. After all, we have been voted into the position by the clan leaders, so as
a
result...
I think the RCs need a manual.
As a result, we're to represent you, so we won't necessarily always contact you first, but if...
We're a little bit like a senator.
Yeah.
So that means you can't have relationships.
Well, we can have as many relationships as we will, please. However...
We can do yoga.
However, what you cannot... Basically, you can bring something up to your regional commander, and hopefully that regional commander will bring it up to the council. If that regional commander does bring it up to the council, then they're doing their job. And if they don't, they're probably still doing their job, because they're trying to protect you from getting shot down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Regarding what Frost said about the investigations, there's not really going to be any discussion outside the...
That
regional commanders and the involved parties.
Yes, we can tell you about reasons. The process, but we cannot tell you anything that happens pertaining to the regional commanders and investigations. Basically,
right.
You're kind of handed missions from our mission giver, being the Alor, who at this time is Darian Ordo. However, we get those sort of assignments. We get any evidence that they have been submitted, because people will oftentimes send the council proof of their problems. And then they tell us to go figure out what's going on. We vote on it. Our decision comes to fruition. The council decides whether or not they want to vote on it as well, or if they just sort of generally agree with us. And they will vote if they need to. Or otherwise, the appropriate punishment is taken as determined by the codex or by our discussion.
All right.
So, yeah, it actually seems to work pretty well. We made some minor adjustments to the process just to ensure fair and balancedness.
Yeah.
But that's all been implemented. So you guys are well represented by me.
Yeah.
With a nod.
Yeah.
And we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back after these... commercials.
This commercial.
Hey, Bounty Hunter Steve.
Hey, Bounty Hunter Ted.
I shot a guy the other day.
Yeah.
Shot him right in the leg.
Uh-huh.
It's great.
Yeah, I know.
First time shot a guy in weeks.
Yeah, I know.
You don't seem terribly thrilled about it.
Because you shot me, you nerf brain. You should get one of those new Arrokin Industry targeting arrays for your rifle, man.
Yeah, maybe I should get on that.
Really should look into that.
Arrokin Industries targeting arrays. A sound investment in not shooting your compatriots.
So, Brian wants to talk a little bit about Clone Wars and kind of give his little opinion on some of the stuff that's been going on.
Yeah, for those who haven't been paying attention, they decided to bring Darth Maul back to life as Shiloh from Lord of the Rings for some odd reason. And his brother, Savage Opress, went and found him on some junk planet, and he had a half-mechanical spider body, and he was all crazy, and then they took him to the Night Sisters on Dathomir and used robot magic to first change his spider legs into a pair of chicken legs. So,
what?
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, he has chicken legs?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you can blame that one on the Crab Wizard.
Yeah. Have you not seen this?
Time to go look up Darth Maul chicken legs on Google.
Yes, he has... Yeah, the knees are facing backwards. He now has chicken legs. He went from spider legs to robot magic chicken legs. Because the Force can do that. Yeah, it's odd. I don't know what they were thinking.
Oh, you mean where they are the robotic chicken legs?
Yes, they are robotic chicken legs.
I mean, they're robotic, though. They can be chicken legs.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I see.
Not literal chicken legs.
Yeah, they was about to say. Well, no, they're the same chicken legs.
Backwards.
Yeah, like the chicken walkers. It's the same picture that they had from the original, from where this entire idea of Darth Maul being resurrected comes from. It comes from a
comic.
Looks like somebody's made an action figure of it, though.
It's from the the comic book. Because it's originally a Legacy. No, not Legacy.
Infinities.
Yes. Infinities.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't, we actually it have wasn't that in Infinities. The... It was Star Wars Tales.
That wasn't.
Was it? It was Star Wars Tales. And some of the Star Wars Tales stuff is canon. Some of it is not. So most of it is just kind of referred to as ambiguously canon.
Now, I think this one is not canon, though, because in it, he's fought off and killed by Owen Lars.
No, he's fought off and killed by Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Again.
Again.
Yeah.
But it's like Kenobi.
Wait. Yeah. Did he throw him in the pit of Carcoon?
No.
No.
He just, that would have been awesome, because then it would have been like a whole villain party down there.
Well, honestly, it's probably just them. They're going to make it retroactively canon, like they did the whole Cintas Vel thing, because that was also Star Wars Tales. The entire story of Cintas Vel and Myrta Gev comes from a single episode of Star Wars Tales.
Never knew that.
I just like how the Force can now be used to just, like, recreate mechanical objects by making them glow, and we've crossed over into robot
Force witchcraft.
Yeah. You know, I think it jumped the shark when it was like, hey, it's bacteria.
Yeah.
So, Muriel, what's your opinion on
that? Hey, guys.
Exactly, Muriel. I agree with you completely.
It's a very good point.
The whole scene where was it Mother Tamsin uses her, you know, force powers, and what's her name? Then the legs, you know, the spider legs, they glow green, and then they're completely reformed into these working mechanical things in a completely different shape. It's like, oh, the Force can do anything now. We can just wish factories into existence, too. It's like,
well,
okay. This
Starforge.
Farstorage?
I think if you listen to what Filoni had said on that aspect, it's a different type of Force using. I mean, we've seen the typical Sith and Jedi stuff, and he was saying that this is a completely different aspect.
There is another
Dathomiri
kind of
witches.
There is another kind of Sith magic that has never once been displayed, though it is talked about all the damn time, which is Sith alchemy, which has innate technological implications. Like, there is the one guy, Lord, not Drog, I think it's Darga, and this is actually pre-Tor era, actually, but this one person hybridized a bunch of people with nanomachines that were created, and
they created
cyber
ghouls,
essentially.
You mean like Mass Effect?
No.
No, no, not at all. Not quite like Husks. No,
not at all like Mass Effect.
See, Mass Effect, it's Mass Effect that does everything, not the Force.
Yeah, exactly. See, you're getting your stuff confused, man.
Yeah.
Warp drive. But
warp drive is Mass Effect. Is the Force?
Yeah.
Is magic pretty much?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is Nakwada.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you guys. Am I the only one that thinks that Dave Filoni looks like Watto?
Yeah, you're the only one.
Yeah, you're alone in that.
I was about to say, I've met Dave Filoni, or at least I think I have, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't look like Watto.
Yeah, I've definitely met him, and he definitely doesn't look like Watto at all.
No, he doesn't look like Watto.
The Darth Maul thing, it comes from one of the ambiguously canon sections of the Star Wars Tales, because certain books that they did for the Star Wars Tales had stories that had sort of serious art and serious ideas behind them. Well, semi-serious. I mean, Big Giz was in the same book, too. And he is completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Fighting a dark trooper on Tatooine with a Jawa.
Yeah.
But even so, they had similar stories like the Boba Fett and Cintas Vel story, and thus the birth of whoever Myrta's mother was. I don't remember anymore. And that whole idea of Boba Fett having an extended family by way of Cintas Vel, that all comes from one of those Star Wars comics from the Tales of the Jedi. Not Tales of the Jedi, from the... I think it's
Star Wars Tales.
Yeah, it was just Star Wars Tales.
Yeah.
But then there were a number that were just really silly. That were intentionally silly.
Yeah, kind of like the whole bringing back the Emperor as a clone. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That was Dark Empire, and some of that stuff was kind of silly.
I never liked the art in that series.
Oh, the Dark Empire comic books?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because it looks a little bit like a watercolor, behemoth sort of had a digestive problem.
That artist, he did a couple of the Boba Fett comic books. Like, I think he did, I forget what numbers they were, but same basic thing, but he had another guy do the colors, so everything isn't just a shade of green.
Yes.
Nice.
Well, it's always either a shade of green or a shade of purple. Or
yeah.
Pink.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Purple, pink, or green!
Yay! This is
true. I think it's the nose and the scruff.
You're still going on about that Watto thing, aren't you?
He really is.
Dude, maybe if Watto had a hat on.
Ian? Other Ooh, Ian, wait, not yeah. not first Ian. Ian 2. Ian 2, can you punch him really hard?
No, he's bigger than me.
Although I am running on like 18 hours of being awake and 4 hours of sleep.
That just makes you unpredictable.
Yesterday I had...
Fun.
What was it? Yesterday I had...
Do I keep hearing R2-D2 for some reason?
Yeah, because you're insane. Anyways, Darth Maul and stuff.
Yes. Robot magic.
Sis. Robot magic.
Yeah, well, again,
not so good.
Again, I think it's kind of silly, but it does sort of jive with the idea of the Sith alchemy, because they've done that a number of times, where they've combined robo-bits and human bits to do human-robo-bit interaction.
Basically, it's just a different portrayal of another side of the Force.
Yeah, I mean, they had Thai shadows and stuff from... Dark Empire, where they took brains from TIE fighter pilots, shadow droids, and they put them into droid bodies and then like fused them together to create super duper pooper scooper droidy fightery type things.
Yeah, but the way they portrayed it, like, you know, she could just walk up to an X-Wing and make it glow, and then, ooh, now it's a TIE fighter, you know, kind of like that.
Yes. Yeah, well, okay. there's a degree of simplification that's going on for the 8-year-olds, too.
Yeah.
Kind of got to take all those episodes with a grain of salt.
We've heard from the quartermaster that we have about 25 of the C6 convention packs left. So get on that.
No, PortCon's
coming up, DragonCon's coming up, C6 is coming up. Go to all those.
So we hope you've enjoyed this episode. We're going to try to keep them short, as we said. So, Brian, do you want to give us an outro?
That was a great outro. What are you talking about?
This has been a production of the Mandalorian Mercs Costume Club. If you'd like to learn more about the topics discussed on today's show, please visit www.mandalorianmercs.com. The Mandalorian Mercs is a worldwide Star Wars costuming organization comprised of and operated by Star Wars fans. Star Wars, its characters, costumes, and all associated items are intellectual property of Lucasfilm. Copyright 2009 Lucasfilm Limited. We hope you enjoyed our show, and we'd love to hear your feedback. Please email podcast@mercs.firespray.net. Until next time, happy hunting.